Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 74, The Disciplined Doers. Today is Friday, November 14th, 2008. Happy birthday, Pastor Paul. Hello and thank you for joining me today. Today's message was originally recorded March 15th, 1985, The Disciplined Doers, which is today's episode 74. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and live in Minnesota and are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission. There, you can join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to see interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, Pastor Paul's Club, Twitter, and YouTube. Now, when you go to the blog, you're going to be able to leave comments to today's message. So be sure to go to the blog, and you'll also see scriptures there located at the blog and links to those scriptures. On Flickr, you're going to see all kinds of historic pictures of Pastor Paul's free food distribution from years gone by. So be sure to go there, and you can also share your photos and sign up as a friend of our Flickr group. Pastor Paul's podcast is every Friday, so new episodes are here every Friday, so be sure to join us for the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. Shop at Pastor Paul's Club. The store is under reconstruction right now. We're getting ready to open it for Cyber Monday, as you know, is coming up Monday, November 24th, Black Friday. Traditionally called the day after Thanksgiving, is November 28th. So we want to see you back at Pastor Paul's Club shopping between the 24th and the 28th and until Christmas and through the holidays. It's going to help pay for Pastor Paul's mission operations. So we need your support. And it's going to a good cause, helping feed hungry people. Be sure to join my Twitter group. You can follow me as I follow you. On YouTube, we have a special film project that we're getting up daily videos, about 10 minutes running. And right now we have parts 1, 2, and 3 up. So be sure to go check them out. You'll find them titled Minnesota Voter Turnout 2008. It's a series of filming that we did prior to the election. Pastor Paul's mission was very instrumental in helping to get out the vote by providing voter registration forms to all the households that came in for groceries in the month of October. We were able to educate people, so a lot is in these videos. It's showing all that, so go check it out. You're going to be able to get to understand a little bit more about Pastor Paul's mission operation and what we're trying to do in the community. As always, it's great to be here, and thank you for joining me. Next Friday, be sure to come back, episode 75, The Way of Disciplined Time. So today is Disciplined Doers, a perfect message for Pastor Paul's 76th birthday. Happy birthday, Pastor Paul. God bless you, and have a great week.
Tonight's message is entitled, Disciplined Doers. Psalm 34 and 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil. And people say, well, what exactly does that mean? Can you define that from me? Go away from it. Is that clear enough? Run, scramola, get out. Not merely take your hands off, but take yourself off. Get your hands off of people. Get yourself off of people. Give them to the Lord. Don't live near the pest house of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes we like to live right on the edge so we can hear the music and say, I wonder what they're doing over in there. And I just wonder what's happening over there. You know, I mean, not that I'd like to join in. Oh, of course not. What I'm saying here tonight, you have to make tracks away from temptation. How many were tempted this week? Did you run away from it? Did you sit right down next side to it? Right on the edge. Make tracks away from temptation, and then the verse goes on that says, and do good. That means be practical, be energetic, be active, be preserving in good. And when we do good, we are sure to avoid evil. You don't have time. If you're doing a lot of good, you won't have time to do evil. How many are hearing this? Whatever you put out, that's exactly what you're going to get back again. Then it goes on and says, seek peace and pursue it. Now, sometimes it's hard to find peace. You know, you can look a long time. Oh, peace, peace. I remember for 9 months I was asking the Lord after that I was first saved. Every evangelist that would come in, I'd walk up the aisle and he'd say, well, what do you need? I'd say, peace. And I kept looking for it and looking for it. And then after I found it, I found out that I had to pursue it because it doesn't sit still. See, you only have peace when you're doing the will of God, being a disciplined doer. And in order to maintain that peace, you have to be a doer of the Word of God, and you have to earnestly, like the Word says here, earnestly, it says, seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. Because the doer not only ceases from evil, but does good. If all then that I can tell Jesus is how good I am, and not what good I've done, then I am only a Pharisee. If you're not doing any good, then you are, well, the world says that you're a good for nothing. How many know there's a whole lot of good for nothing Christians? How many know a lot of times all of us are good for nothing Christians? Psalm 37 and 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, there it is again. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shall be fed. Trust in the Lord, it says, and do good. Doing good, I think, is a real good remedy for fretting. You ever seen a person that's fretting? Oh, man, they're all over. You can't sit down for 5 minutes with them. They're walking. They're pacing the floor, and they're fretting. Now, if they were doing good, they wouldn't be fretting. That is a wonderful remedy, I said, for fretting, doing good. It just joys my heart to see you sitting up here in front. Now, you young guys here, you know, when we first came in here, some 6 years ago, remember we had you down here pulling up these rugs and things? Do you remember that? With the biggly, bugly, bugly worms and bugs and all that. You remember that, don't you? It was only about this tall. But right then there, we started to discipline, and you guys were working. The minute they'd start to sit down, I'd say, oh, no, 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 get up. We got to get going here. And one night, we tore up that whole downstairs, all the rug and all the padding and everything, and took it out in the parking lot because people were taught how to be disciplined and be doers of the Word of God. And it tickles my heart to see some of the results sitting here tonight. My God, isn't that wonderful? Aren't they beautiful, them young men? Praise the Lord. But anyway, doing good drives away all the discontentment. Are you discontented and you're frowning and fretting? So many times you see people and they're frowning and they're fretting. Today we had a frowner and a fretter, and he came in here and he stormed in and he went through all the grocery bags. What do you got in these grocery bags? Well, I'm really thankful to God that I wasn't here. I really am. Because if I would have been here, I'd say, well, now I'm going to show you something. I would have led him back to the door and say, there's the door. But praise be to God, I wasn't here. God knows when to keep us away. And I prayed on the way down here. I'd heard about it, and I started a fuming and a fretting, and I said, hey, hold it. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Nobody else wants to talk to you because you're too miserable, see? And I knew I wasn't fit to talk to anyway, so I talked to myself. And I started praying in tongues because I didn't know how to pray to get rid of this thing. But I want to tell you something. As I was praying in tongues, it sounded like I was most mad. I was chasing something out of my life. I don't know what it was. But as I disciplined myself in prayer, something happened on the inside, and I was able to deal with the problem in such a way that the wisdom of God and the power of God fell. And where the wisdom of God and the power of God is, there's fear in the hearts of men when they've done wrong and the Spirit touch on them. Disciplined doers I'm talking about. 1 Timothy 1 and 5 says, but the goal of our instruction is love. You can have all the instruction. You can go to all the meetings you want to. But if it does not develop in you in the way of love, it's nothing. And goes on and says, from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. There is a song like that. It says, the object of my affection is to turn the world's direction from gray to rosy red. And tell them that they need the Lord for now and evermore. This is the aim of the Christian. This is my aim tonight. This is my aim for being down here on the north side. To discipline myself and to discipline others. Discipline love. Disciplining from a pure heart, disciplining from a love, from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. And how is that developed? By doing the Word of God. By consistently and constantly and always doing the Word of God. Now, don't pay no attention to what's going on around you. It's up to you to do the Word of God. See, love won't come through a soiled heart. And love won't come through a bad conscience. And love will not come through an insincere faith. Have you ever tried to have it come through? You just got done fighting and yelling and screaming, or you're fretting and you're fuming, and then you try to, your soiled heart, you try to give love to someone. Well, hi, you say. How you doing? Your face is all screwed up. It isn't free. People can see right through it. Have you ever tried to smile through a bad conscience? You know, when I have a bad conscience, it feels like everybody's watching me. I remember several years back, before that I knew the Lord and I would do some sort of a perverted sin, it felt like pins and needles were all over my whole body. You know what? I was not saved yet, but I knew God was watching me. I had that terrible guilt, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I couldn't love anybody because I had this terrible, stricken conscience. And love would not come through. I didn't care for anything then. I just had a stricken conscience. Did you ever try to have a love from an insincere faith? You know, when you're not sincere in your faith and you say, oh yes, God, I believe, and you really don't believe. So many people stand in these great big powerful hyper-faith meetings and they say, I claim it, and they don't mean it. In the first place, it's off anyway because they're claiming something they shouldn't have. They got too much of it already. Self. So then we find that the Christian way is discipline and not just a doctrine. See, the doctrine gives direction and content to the discipline. But discipline that does not discipline is dead. And doctrine that doesn't discipline is dead. If there's no discipline in the house of God, that house of God is dead. Sometime back, I had a man, he was sitting in the front row up here somewhere along in here. Every other word that I would say, he'd say amen. There got to be, before I even said the word, he said amen, and I couldn't even get the message out. So I said, brother, would you please discipline your amens, and I'll ask you when I want you to give an amen, because I ain't never going to get done with this message. You understand what I'm saying? There's got to be discipline in the house of God. Sometimes you go to church and there's folks that are moving all over the place. There's an altar call and they're all chewing gum and blowing bubbles. Now there's some people who had to swallow the gum right now. No, right? They're snapping on Tootsie Rolls and there's no discipline. Now how'd you like to stand up here and watch somebody grow a great big bubble and let it flap all over their face and then they have to wipe it all off with their hand? Well, what am I saying here tonight? That Christianity is not merely something you believe, because if it's something you believe in enough, you're going to act upon it. Now, I'm serious about being a Christian. Oh, God, I am. And the more I am a Christian, the more serious I am about it. And you know what? I'm getting out exactly what I put into it. Now, I see you put in some practice here, and so you're getting something out of it. Do you know that? And you know every little time that you made a misbeat. And you think, oh, and you know what? That's the part that you're going to discipline yourselves with. You're going to say, well, now, we did, everybody could compliment you. I think it was great. But you'll find things wrong with yourself that we won't. Isn't that right? Then you're going to go back and you're going to discipline yourself until you get it down. How many hearing this? And that's the same way it should be in our lives. We should discipline our lives until we get it down. Are you hearing this? Something I said you believe in enough to act upon. If you love somebody, you're going to act upon it. You're going to give them to Jesus. Come on, people. How many hearing what I'm saying here tonight? Your deed, I said, is your creed. The thing you believe in is the thing you practice. It's a thing you do. Now, you know what people believe in by the things they do. Say amen. Now, the world, they believe in sin, don't they? And they practice it all the day long. Now, lock up all the doors and windows, close everything. No one else is going out of here tonight. Are you hearing this? We're going to discipline ourselves. How many hearing this? They're serious about sin. Now, when I was in the world, I was serious about sinning. How many hearing this? I was a serious drunk. I was serious about getting drunk. I was disciplined in getting drunk. Are you hearing it? Homosexuals, aren't they serious about what they're doing? In fact, they're so serious about what they're doing, they have power in doing wrong. They can sway votes. They can stop governors and they can move different government agencies. You know why? Because they believe and they're serious in what they're doing, even though it's wrong. Why aren't Christians like that? See, they're practicing what they believe in. Now, do you believe in Jesus? Then you're going to practice Jesus. Now you hear somebody doesn't believe in Jesus and then they just get mad and they'll pound and they'll rave and they don't believe in Jesus. And sometimes they even pretend to believe in Jesus to have their own way. But I'll tell you what, it ain't going to work. Ask a prostitute, do you believe in what you're doing? Well, she'd say, what do you think I'm doing out here? What is your creed, you ask her, and she says, I am a prostitute indeed. They have the doctrine and the very doctrine of do. They have the doctrine of do, and they act out their doctrine very strangely. See, you do not believe in what you do not practice. Are you hearing this? Hey, that's why there's so many people going astray. They believe in going astray. Now, someone tells me that, oh, no, I don't believe that. I believe in this. But you see them constantly, continually, and always going astray. I have to tell them, I say, no, you don't believe in following the Lord. You believe in going off. And you believe in going astray. That's what you believe. And, well, how do you know that? Because you practice it. How many are hearing this? Well, I believe in Jesus. Now, I've seen everything from the boo-hooers to the fall-down, fall-outers and knock your wigs off and everything else. They don't believe any of it. It's all a sham and it's all a show a whole lot of times. I'm preaching a long, good time now, and I tell you right now, it's really the truth. And you see in their regular life, they don't act out the part, so they really don't believe it. They act it out in church. When they get out of church, they're down. They're happy while they're in church, and they're down when they're out of church. What do they believe? If they believe like you were singing here, they would have the joy. Wasn't that the last song? Joy? Isn't there joy unspeakable and full of plenty? What do you believe tonight? You can tell it by looking at the faces of people what they believe. And you can tell by what we do. By what we do, that's what we believe. Say amen. I believe in missions, and I believe in and going out. And I'm not perfect, but none of us perfect. We're a long ways off from it. Bible says, be careful when you think you know something. Know nothing at all. When I get up to preach, I would rather know nothing at all and line up with the Word of God. Oh, so many times we can get up, we know it all. I know nothing at all. Bible says, know nothing at all. You know, undisciplined people are time wasters. You ever seen an undisciplined worker? They waste so much time, they're not disciplined. They come in, they're a half hour late, they're 45 minutes late, their hair is all over their head, and they come in and their hair is all over, you know, and they're mean and they're mad. And they're undisciplined. Oh, it's late. And they got 40 excuses, so they waste another half hour talking about and lying about some kind of old excuse. Say, I don't want to hear it. How many hearing this? I do. Say, what are you combing on? Never mind. I'm disciplined. And they waste their strength with themselves and their own tangles. So much time is wasted. Now we're starting a new program down here. And I think it should be started all over the country, not just on our north side. There are so many good things happening. I think we ought to train other people from the suburbs. Come on down here, we'll train you how to be people. Did you hear that? My God, let's get the radio and the tape ministry out here. They've been hiding underneath here. Let's put them out here. Huh? Well, I guess they haven't got no chair tonight. We'll lay them right here on the floor. How many hearing this? Oh, that we would discipline our time. Oh, that we wouldn't get tangled up in quarrels and in divorces and in feelings and in our hurts and in our wants. How many people are tangled up in their wants? Oh, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. If I only had a whatever, huh? But not only I'm finding is the world in the hands of disciplined people, but let me add this. The future of the world is in the hands of the ones who are disciplined to the highest degree. Now, I look at President Reagan here, now, pros and cons, but here is really a disciplined man. Say amen. Oh, that means that you're a Republican. That means you're that. I said a disciplined man. And if a person is disciplined to less than the very highest degree, then the discipline will run out when you need it the most. If you're only half disciplined and temptation comes your way, you're not disciplined all the way in the Lord, you are going to fall. Say amen, somebody. And if you let yourself be undisciplined in the very little things, like not making it to work on time, not taking care of your body. You ever seen a person with an undisciplined body? Have you? Well, they raise their arms to praise the Lord and half the church leaves. Okay, that's the truth, isn't it? It really is. And so they have an undisciplined body, and they have undisciplined in what they're doing, and they go out for a job, and the person just moves their chair back and says, sorry, we don't need nobody in here. Isn't that kind of sad? I mean, if you can't do the very basic things, how can you carry on in your life? And if you're not disciplined in your job, now I come from a Greek background, we're disciplined. My dad used to wake me up by knocking on my head. Wake up, time to go to work, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know what time I wake up now? Every morning, 5 o'clock. I still feel them knuckles on my head. It's a 5 o'clock in the morning. They got to go down. They got to get the coffee ready. You know, you told you, take the teller, told you, told you, told you. Get up. But one thing it did in my life, it disciplined me so that I could hold a job, so that I was there every day. How many are hearing this? And you know, what I was brought up in, it rubbed off on my kids. I think Steve probably missed 1 or 2 days of all the time he was in school. Because he didn't see Daddy laying on the couch. Oh, what do you expect? Well, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Isn't that right? And now we're wondering what happened to this generation. And they were busy, they were looking and they seen, oh, there's Dad laid out on the couch. It's 12 o'clock. And they would go lay on the couch. That's the thing to do. Or sit in the window waiting for the welfare check like some kind of a dog. Huh? Now tell it like it is. And the mailman comes up, he don't know whether to run from the mama in that house or the dog. Because boy, if that check is one day late, they both look the same, let me tell you, brothers and sisters. The only time people are disciplined is when they're out of money. And I think it's good right now we're going through hard times because it's going to make people be disciplined to make things last a little bit longer, and we're going to get out and do the thing, and the Church of Jesus Christ is going to have to pick up its share of the burden. And by the way, the Church of Jesus Christ is the people. And what are we talking about here tonight? Discipline. Well, you say, what are we disciplined to? And the second part of 1 Timothy 4, and it says like this, the administration of God, which is by faith. The divine order which belongs to faith. The kingdom of God. You're disciplined to the kingdom of God. You're not disciplined to the world system. You're disciplined to the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, God's people are on time. God's people are workers. Oh, they got it wrong when they go to these meetings and they bring these meetings. Then they come. I don't hope they never come down here and settle down here in the north side. One thing we don't need down here is claiming ministries. I claim this. No, that is over with. I claim our people to get up off it and get to work. That's what I claim. And I claim jobs for God's people. You know, ideas is better than money. I got an idea. And there's a whole lot of folks that don't like it, but it's still an idea. That idea is to get everybody working. You say, well, how much they're going to make? Well, it doesn't really matter what they make. Steve one time complained to me. He says, Dad, I've been working over in this cafe. I started at 14 years old. I'm 17, almost 17 years old. And everybody that comes in is getting paid higher than I am. I says, I should pay them people for teaching you how to work. My God, you won't be moving back in with me, and you won't be costing me a whole lot of money. Praise God. And I'll tell you something else, son. I expect $100 a month off you when I retire. All you kids. Why not? Well, you say that takes a lot of faith. Well, I got it. I discipline myself. That's what I do with my parents, and I think my kids should do the same. You know what? You never even miss it, kids. Oh, maybe for a couple of years, but after that, it'll be all right. That's God's order, and that's the kingdom of God, taking care of each other. Oh, it says love one another, and that means love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself, you're going to start giving to other people. Then you'll learn to love yourself when you start giving. It says give your life. Oh, and a guy told me the other day, he says, you know, brother, you should get into preaching about inner healing. I says, hey, I don't want to hear no more about inner healing. Why inner heal Adam when Adam is supposed to be nailed down in his coffin and dead and it's no longer you live, but Christ lives inside you? Stop talking about inner healing and making, oh, you need an inner healing. What? You can't heal Adam. You can pamper him. You can baby him. You can talk to him all night on the phone. You can have him over to your house. You can feed him and you can just give him all that. He's never satisfied because it's flesh. Inner healing comes when there's an outer doing. Doing the Word of God causes a healing. Nothing else will heal you. You know, work is the best therapy there ever was. Now, you show me a man that does a half a day's work, I'll show you a half a man. I don't care how big he is or how big his mouth is. He's only a half a man. Say amen, somebody. I know some of the big bruisers don't like that, but it's actually the truth, isn't it? I believe by the time that we get done with this idea, all the corporate body of Christ starts rounding up all the folks on the north side with such an educated working force, they're going to be coming in here saying, no, give him, we want him, we want him. And they're going to be in here just screaming to get the people down here. You know why? They're going to be disciplined people, and all around the world there are undisciplined people that don't want to do nothing but complain. Isn't that the truth? Well, I know it's the truth because that's the way I am. The divine order was in, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ. So we are disciplined by a person who embodies the order. Hallelujah. So you see, we are disciplined by a person and a social order. There's got to be order. I mean, no, you don't have no order in your house. It's just chaos. Well, even the court. Order in the court! Now, my mother used to let us scream and yell and just for so long. And then I could always tell when my mother was getting mad because she started getting red right back in here. By the time I got around for the back of her ears up here, I was backing off. That is enough. That was it. Say amen, somebody. But my mother, the windmill, was a disciplinarian. My dad never hit, but my mother would come at me like a windmill. Now I'll tell you something, I deserved it. But it's also personal, you see, because it's related to a person. So here we have social in that it's related to a new order embodied in that person. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And so you see, if we are disciplined to the embodied kingdom, We can outthink, we can outlive, we can outdie, we can do all these things better through Christ who strengthens us, because the kingdom of God outdoes every other way of life. Well, if it does, why don't we prove it? Well, they say, well, now, where was your last job? And you have this questionnaire. And what do you believe? I believe Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, they just turn their noses up to that. But if you went in there and Jesus Christ was really King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you said, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this job today? They'd say, what motivates you to do such a good job? Why, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I put that on my application, sir. Take a look. And then they would start taking the Christian seriously. But a lot of times, you see, the Christian is the opposite. They go to work. I had one working here. And I come over, and all the people are waiting to be served, and she was sitting, reading her Bible. And I said, sister, what are you doing? She's reading my Bible. I said, it's noon, and people are wanting to get something to eat. You mean you can't read your Bible in the house of God? No, I says, you cannot read your Bible in here, and I'll tell you why. Because people are waiting to be fed. Read your Bible, discipline yourself, get up in the morning and use your own time. And that's the same way they're going to do when people go out to work. But Christians take advantage of one another. Yeah. Oh, brother, I'm a little bit late. See, I had to go over there. Yeah, yeah. And where were you for 4 hours? Oh, I was talking to somebody. You were talking to somebody. That's real nice. Isn't that right? Oh, God. Now, could you do that on a regular job? Now, go over there and get them parts and be back here because, see, this is costing this guy $35 an hour. And the clock tick-tock, tick-tock, tick. 4 hours passes. Guy comes back. Where were you? Oh, I was talking to somebody. Now, this guy that's waiting for his car, I want to tell you something. You better start running. He's making like Frankenstein, you know what I mean? Isn't that right? Man. Don't we treat each other like that, though? And people look at that. And we're not disciplined in our love. I mean, every job we should do with all our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. It's like you're packing bags. Is that an important job? You better believe it. Everything that goes in that bag, someone's going to eat. Bless this powdered eggs in the name of Jesus. They need blessing anyway. Bless this and bless this bran flakes and bless these cookies and bless this chicken and bless this. Oh, God, bless it. Oh, Lord, right now, whoever takes a bite out of this, Lord, just have them have the jumping joy of Jesus and say it in faith, believe it, and somebody's going to be sitting at that table jumping. Oh, I don't know what this chicken has got, but glory to God, it just reminded me, huh? Now, when you're down there doing them dishes, you could start to singing, see? This is the way Christians do the dishes, do the dishes, do the dishes. Huh?
Yeah.
That's right. Early in the morning. Huh? But and I'm not saying this is you, but a lot of times when we're doing dishes, they yeah. What you crying about? You gotta do all them dishes. You know why you pray over your food? Now, when you go in a cafe, you better pray over your food because sometimes they got a mean old cook out there. And you know what? That food is cursed. Oh, you want fried too, do you? Whack, whack. Huh? You have to bless your food because it's got a curse on it. You hearing this? Now, it's the same way when we're working in the kingdom of God. You don't enjoy what you're doing. It isn't going to be blessed. You aren't going to be blessed, and nobody else is going to be blessed around you either because you think you should be some great big evangelist or something out there doing a great work for God, and you can't even do that. Oh, Oh, my God, I got to preach every message like it's my last. I'm getting old. I might just leave any old time. Here we are in 2 Timothy 4 and 2 through 5. Preach the word. You know, sometimes you get up and preach a word, it's spooky. I used to go out and I had to evangelize. There'd be 700-800 folks out there, 1,000 more. You get up and you're going to preach the word, and you got a whole lot of undisciplined people sitting out there. You know what I mean? Undisciplined, somebody blows their nose. Huh? Undisciplined. People running up and down the aisles, people slapping their kids. And someone else comes in and they're serious about their heart, they're stricken in their heart, they want to hear about the Word of God, they're a brand new babe in Christ. And what are we going to give them? Ourself. Hey, don't treat anybody like that and give them yourself. Give them Jesus. When you're giving them Jesus, they're watching you, how you take on the Word of God, how you behave in church. Go to the bathroom before you come to church and don't have to run out every 5 minutes to go tutty. Hearing it? All right, said it and I'm glad. Preach the word, be ready in season. Be ready in season. And then it goes on, and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Well, now the person that does that's going to have to be disciplined himself. You can't go telling folks to do things you don't do it yourself. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're right there right now. People do not want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear fairy tales, and they want to hear stories about you got to fill up your tear vial all the way to heaven, and then God will answer your prayer. Nonsense. Call upon my name in the time of trouble and I will answer. Sometimes I say no. Sometimes I say forget it. But I am God and I'll do what I want to do. That's what God says. Now listen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Oh, don't they have a lot of these Amway meeting tickling? This same as Amway. They tickle their ears. Brother, a guy called me up and he says, you know what? I have an idea to pay off your church. And you know what it is? It's selling this granule milk. It tastes like milk. It looks like milk. But I says, is it milk? I was just teasing with him. I said, brother, I don't want to get any of those get-rich-quick schemes. I don't want any of that. I don't want to get involved with Doc Shackles or Amway. I don't want to pay off the church by selling to everybody. They want their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What's your desire? What's your pleasure? And so we got a whole lot of folks that are shopping all over for a church that fits them. That's what they want. They want a church that fits them. You know what fits folks? They want to go to church where everybody's got a suit on and, well, this looks prosperous. Looks like it. Kind of church that be okay for me to be in. Yeah. Right? It's the truth, isn't it? They go by the parking lot and they check out to see what kind of cars are in there. See? And they get inside, and if their ears are tickled just right. Oh, and that's such an art. Preachers, are you hearing this on the radio and tape? Oh, yes. Don't turn it off. And if their ears are tickled just right, and they go out of church, and their ears are tickled just right, they wasn't that good? But nobody's convicted. No one changes. No one is, challenged by the Word of God, and nothing happens. Because they just talk about the Word of God, and they don't walk about the Word of God, and they don't do the Word of God. Well, what is doing the will? It's doing the will of God. That's what doing the Word of God is. You know, doing the will of God is not always satisfying to the flesh. You know that? Do you ever see somebody sitting in the flesh? Man, they are so boring. If somebody sitting in the spirit, it's another story. If someone sitting in the flesh, you can just see them spirits. They're cynical. Oh, I don't know about this guy. Too much laughing. Too much merriment. Too much truth. Say amen, somebody. Get it on, get it on, get it on, get it on. Too much truth! And so they got to find something wrong with it. Great. Well, why do you mention that? Because there's a spirit coming right over that radio right now. It's listening. I see you. Say amen. Amen. It's the truth, isn't it? Hey, why be a phony? Undisciplined people are phonies because they got to be a phony because they're undisciplined. They got to make all kinds of excuses for themselves and they got to try to play a part that they're not doing at all. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Did you ever get into Greek mythology where there was a ship that went from one island to the next island to the next island? Until they heard the bell or the horn. Boop, 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 boop. Huh? And they get into myths. And they get into almost. They almost get into witchcraft. And they're continually looking for somebody to give them a word. Guy came in the day, he was scared right out of his tree. He says, a guy gave me a word the other night, and I'm supposed to go over here. I don't know if it was China or Africa. I forget where it was. It was somewhere way off, and I thought, well, they just want to get rid of you, brother. That's all. And so someone gave them a word. I says, if someone gives you a personal prophecy, now listen to what I'm going to say. It's very dangerous if you're going to give a kitchen prophecy. It's very, very dangerous. And people are coming and calling all the time because there's always somebody laying their hands on them and giving them a word. I said, did God tell you to do that? Well, no. I said, all that personal prophecy is to do is to give you confirmation on what God has told you already. And if it lines up with what God has told you already, then go to Africa by all means and take some bug blasters with you. Be practical. And they will turn aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, people get bored with the Word of God. They do. You know why? Because they're not doing the Word of God. Now, if you're doing something, you won't get bored with it. Now, a lot of people say, get into it. Do you know you can get into doing dishes? Do you know you can get into doing your house? Well, you can get up with your great big old sloppy slippers on, too, and flop out there. But if once you start and you get into it, and you got the proper tools, and you got the whatever dust spray they have, you don't need that either. Get some vinegar and water, whatever. And you get all your tools lined up, see, and you're organized and disciplined. So you got all the tools. Put the broom over here in the dustpan. Okay, now this is simple, but it's a basic truth. And the dustpan and the broom. So you don't have to go looking for things. Woo, where'd it go? Oh, yeah. You're all frustrated. And you line up all your tools first. See, now you're disciplined. Now you sit down and you start, now you're disciplined, and you start dusting on top of things. Because the dust is going to fall down and go on the floor. You don't vacuum first and then dust, okay? Now I'm trying to make a point here, and that's the same way in your Christian walk. Now, you dust everything on top and it all falls down. Then you dust the tables and that falls down. And then you sweep the floor. And you don't wear yourself out because you got a method to your madness. Say amen. And so many women are undisciplined in their house clean. Oh, and they throw things there. And the doorbell rings and they get a great big push broom and everything goes down in the basement. Huh? Isn't that right? And they're on this. Now, I know I'm touching cords here. Have some people cleaning their house all night long. They learned how to clean them now. Start from the top and work down. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to miss. But you, it says, be sober in all things. And listen to this. I know it isn't preached a lot. People don't like to hear it. But it does say this in the Word of God. Read it for yourselves out of 2 Timothy 4 and the latter part of verse 5. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Well, what does that mean? That means you're going to have hardship. Well, golly, that's not a positive confession. I claim I will not have hardship. You're going to have them. That's where your faith comes in. Endure hardship. You wouldn't have to endure it if you didn't have it. Now, here's that word do again, the do doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know who one of the first evangelists was? Philip. The lay people. The Stevens, the table people, they cleaned off. Do the work of an evangelist. And they cleaned the tables off down there. Somebody here clean tables? And they cleaned the dinner tables off. How you doing? Praise the Lord. What's this little one's name here? Cute, 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 cute. Huh? God loves good conversation. Today, Janine and myself led woman conventions. I'm concerned. She says, my uncle has been missing for 3 days. I says, is he a drinker? She said, yes, but he quit drinking. I says, he just started again. That's where he is at right now. No, but he quit. And I says, well, he must have started. Let's pray for him and pray the Lord bring him back. Well, they all three got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to use every opportunity as an evangelist. And you get done singing when you go out, you know, into different places and you do the work of an evangelist. And you get up there and offer Christ. And I'm sure you do that, right? Where you have the whole concert. How many hearing this? And the work of an evangelist. People don't want to be an evangelist. Did you know you're an evangelist while you're packing bags? People are watching you. Did you know that you're an evangelist while you're making up those signs and carrying these things around or packing potatoes and doing things like that? Did you know you're an evangelist when you go out with that bus? Isn't that wonderful, Jim? You're an evangelist. You go out with a bus. And people watch you stir in the stew. And getting their bread ready. And getting their dessert ready. Discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Wake up, son. Discipline them eyeballs. How many are hearing this? Right now, take command over them eyeballs. Discipline them. Huh? Discipline your posture. Discipline your life. Discipline your coming and discipline your going. And pretty soon, that which you practice, you'll become. You'll love to go to work. You'll love it. I got up this morning and I went to the mirror and I thought, ooh, I love it. I love to go to work. I love it. I did. You say, well, you are crazy. Ooh, if our country was like that. Oh, everything, you pick everything up now and you look on the bottom, made in Japan. Why? We're not disciplined. Pretty soon you're going to pick up fruits and vegetables and look on the bottom. It's going to say made in Japan. Why? Because we're not disciplined. Isn't that sad? Isn't it? Why are families falling apart? They're not disciplined. They don't discipline their mouth. And they blow their mouth off. Now it's getting kind of quiet in here. Paul Paul says like this, whereas the aim of the Christian discipline is the love that springs. In other words, it practices spontaneous springs. It springs up. It's like a coiled spring. And it springs up. Don't you think you should be disciplined to spring out of bed in the morning? Spring out. Isn't there a song like that? Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Huh? How does it go? Spring up, oh well, down deep inside. Huh? Spring up, oh well. Huh? And if you disciplined yourself in the morning and you sang that song, you could go down the streets down. Wouldn't that be wonderful on the north side with a whole group of young people walking down and all these sluggards are sleeping up in their beds and we'd be out there going to work with our hats on. Spring up, oh well, la da 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 da. You know what would happen? In the end, you would irritate them folks up out of the bed. One time I was downstairs and I yelled food. I never seen people move so fast in all my life. You yell fire or food, that's two ways to get folks moving. Oh, another way is work. They just go the other way, that's all. Oh, there's a do your own gang people. They do their own thing, gang people. Are you not hearing me tonight? And they cannot produce a love that swells up on the inside, that springs out. It produces only hate, and it's all bottoms out. What do these people say? They don't want to hear nothing. They have a song kind of goes like this. Hold the Bible, hold the preaching. We don't want grace. We hate that teaching. You know, the legalist is a lazy person. The one that's always laying laws on other people, that's the lazy person. He's mean. But the grace preacher is so busy doing things. And he's so happy and he's got so many springs. And the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know actually Christians that we cover a multitude of sins that people commit? Love covers them up. Doesn't it? Love covers. It doesn't uncover them. Ah! Huh? It covers them. It covers that naked sin. It covers it. Now, if you were out there and you were naked in sin, someone come up with a blanket, wouldn't you love them? Say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you so much. You covered me up. That's what Jesus does for us. He covers our sins. Doesn't that make you want to love them all the more and say, Lord, thank you for covering my sins, for paying the price. You know, when you get that down deep in your heart, what God has already done before the foundation of the world was even founded, my God, there's a springing up on the inside. There's a springing up. There's a welling up on the inside. There's an artesian well that lets go. Thank you, Lord. Then the law that we have, the higher law of love, ends up in a reality, a love that springs, that becomes artesian instead of hand pumps. You ever try to, you know what I mean, hand pump? That's a legalist. Pump water. Oh, come on, come on. And they wear themselves out and they get meaner than all. No, it's got to come from the inside. It's got to be something that comes right up out of the heart, the springs of the heart. And Isaiah 42 and 7 says, listen, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. Well, we have a lot of folks in the dungeon. You know where you find yourself, though, a lot of times? In the dungeon. And those who dwell in darkness, from the prison. The other night I was working late and I had this sign that says Jesus. Maybe you've seen these signs and you have to look real hard to see Jesus in it. You ever seen one of those little blocks of wood and they have it in there like that? But I had the lights turned real low. And I looked up, and Jesus was very pronounced. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, "My light shineth out of the darkness." And today, I saw more darkness than I have the whole of the half a year. More darkness. But Jesus' light, you know, was all pronounced. All I could see was Jesus. I didn't have to look to see where it was or for how the letters went and hunt them out. They were pronounced. Jesus is pronounced. His light shines out of the darkness. Well, you're going to find Jesus. Where there's darkness, you're going to, and where there's suffering, you're going to find the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's where I found Jesus, where there was suffering and pain. And that's where Jesus is. Where there's hunger, where there's suffering, where there's pain. There he is. Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was in a prison? Where were you when I was a widow? We didn't know you was in a prison. I tell you, you've done the least of mine, done to me. Where were you? I called you and you weren't there. Oh, I was at a praise. I was at a you know, claim meeting. Are you hearing this? To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, and that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, but now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. There is a springing forth and a dedication and a discipline that's going to come out of the north side like as they've never seen before, glory to God, because people are sick of being put down and put under, and they're going to say, "We're going to show you," and love is going to flourish on the north side, and my God, there's corn in Egypt, and right now, folks, we're giving out to the all of the outside. God is blessing the north side, and they're feeding of multitudes all over. Why? God is blessing his people down here, down in this Egypt, glory to God. There's corn in Egypt. There's a beautiful thing happening. Let's join together in it. My God, let's join together and let's get excited about what's happening and let's discipline our time and discipline our sex life and discipline our coming and discipline our going and discipline our lives and say, "First to you, God, first to you." Sing his praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell in them, and let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. Oh, there is going to come a time, by an example of a few, that the multitudes are going to seek a Savior, hallelujah, before the doors close. Before the rapture, there's going to come a time of revival. I'm not talking about a planned revival. I'm talking about a prayed-in revival. I'm talking about a spontaneous revival, and not man-made, not certain meetings at a certain place, but all of a sudden through prayer, there's going to come a revival such as you've never seen before, and people are going to be awakened to the Spirit of God, and they're going to be led in one accord, and the new Jerusalem that comes down right now, my God, and they're going to say there's going to be love, and there's going to be a great rejoicing in the land, and there's going to be a oneness, glory to God, of all the Christians, the tall and the short and the fat and the lame and the halt, and the highways and the byways are going to be cleared of all the lame and the base perverted things of the world are going to be raised up to profound the wise, hallelujah, and God's army is going to move forth with such power and with such discipline and with such love, such an army as you have never seen before. So if you're feeling lazy tonight, my God, get it on and tell yourself, "God, God, help me to be disciplined in what I'm doing." Going on here. Here is the opposite. And right now we're facing the opposite of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of what's going to come. Glory to God. Every time that we get into this, we have to give you the opposite. People are going to have to find out that lust ends in disgust. that money ends in worrying and anxiety, and the coffee clutches will end in a gut clutch, and the drinking ends in puking. Are you hit? Revelation 17 and 11. Moffat translation. As for the beast which was and is not, that's the way all beasts end. Now you see it and now you don't. Here today and gone tomorrow. Here again, there again, gone again, Flanagan. Because evil has no future, and it was and is not, the Bible says. How many are hearing it? So many times we fall for that type of thing. So many times the devil says, over here, come over here, look at here, come on over here. You're tired, you're down, don't go to church, go over here, do this, go over to a baseball game, or go to the hockey, or go bowling. Do anything, but don't go to church. Go to church. Be an example. Say amen, somebody. Amen. My God, we're trying to get people to go to church. We're right alongside of folks, and there's Christians right now sitting in there sipping on wine, sitting over here someplace else, but probably even witnessing to soothe their own conscience, but they're not disciplined themselves enough to even go to church. What kind of an example is that? How would you like it if the preacher says, well, I didn't come, I'm real sorry, but I decided I wanted to do something else tonight. And everybody's sitting there waiting. What happened? Huh? Or you went out someplace to sing. You lined up all the microphones and got everything all set up and you didn't show up. You get somebody in your musical group that's undisciplined, kick them out. Say, sorry, brother, you have to go. How many hearing it? I'm sure you've had people in your group already that are undisciplined, right? And they got excuses. Well, you know, I'm real sorry I'm late. I'm real sorry. You want to run through that tune again? It's 12 o'clock at night. See, they want to get up front, but they don't want to be disciplined enough to do it. It takes discipline to sing like you people were singing here. It takes a little bit of dedication. Now, I said that, and I'm glad if there's somebody in your group, if you get somebody in your group later on that doesn't want to be disciplined, say, sorry, get out. Who needs you? Say amen. I think preachers ought to be bold, too. Say, you want to be disciplined, come to church? No, get out. Oh, God, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? I think I'm going to do it. I am. I think I'm going to do it. I think it'll just make people just think twice. Probably think twice about coming to church. All right, here we are in Psalm. I'm closing. Don't worry about it. How many hearing this? Psalm 1, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And he shall be, it says, like a tree planted, not a wild tree, a planted tree, a chosen tree, glory to God, considered as property, cultivated, secured against that awful last day when there's going to come a rooting up, and God's trees will not be rooted up. And it goes on, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, not unseasonable graces. God is going to cause his trees to grow by the rivers of waters. God's going to cause his trees to grow in that place where they're not going to want any more, glory to God. And they're going to be a fruit, and they're going to be a light, and they're going to be a beacon, and they're going to be something beautiful for the world to behold. And they're going to say, this brother and this sister are giving off fruit to eat from. They are fruitful. Are you fruitful? Are you walking? You ever seen a tree that's fruitful? They are all chopped up and hacked off at the bottom, and their limbs are short, and they're... Huh? But they're bearing fruit. And then they got this great big leafy Christian, see? All the leaves and everything. Wonderful leafage and foliage, but no fruit. They look good, but there's nothing to eat on them. Give me a stubby little Christian. A stubby little beat out, beat down, inspired, pruned Christian every time. My God. That bears fruit. That's been through suffering. Let me read it now. His leaf also shall not wither. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our work does not have to wither. Right now, while I'm speaking, there is a world force that has come against, not a church force, well, maybe there's some church folks, but there's a force that's come against this church because of the things it is doing. Right now, we're being questioned. You mean you're a church? And you're mixing the church with social things and feeding people? I said, hey, that is what the church is all about. And if you folks want to play dirty, I ain't going to enter into it. I'm just going to start praying and fasting. Say amen. What God starts out to do, we don't lose our head. If God opens up a door, no man will close it. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Right now, down in the caches of this church, there's food overflowing. Food overflowing. And right now, they're trying to cut off the supply. Do you know why they can't cut it off? Because God is the source. Amen. They can come down here and peek through them bags all they want to. They can even take back some of them scrubby old cookies and junk they gave. We got more stuff. We're going to have better things coming on. You're hearing it? Better! Not only are we going to show them how to eat and how to supply, we're going to show them how to work, how to have the joy of the Lord while you're doing it. Say amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm excited. How many in here are excited about what God's doing? Glory to God. Woo! Well, isn't there a song like that? I'm so excited, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Hey, something like that, ain't it? I'm so excited. Jesus is doing a number. Jesus took my burdens all away. Hey! I don't have to be burdened. Now when they come on, I act like a doctor. They come up and they're just sick and they're sitting there and I just examine them and I say, And I just leave them guess what's going on in my head. You don't have to say anything. I tell you tonight, God is going to move in such a beautiful way in a unity on the north side like they've never seen before. And this very area, I'm talking about this whole 5-mile radius area here, and especially in between our borders of Plymouth Avenue and 55, there's going to come such a raising up of song people, of preachers, of gospel preachers of the Word of God, street people going out to evangelize, that they're going to come down here to do their missionary training. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Now, if you're just sitting here in your flesh, you ain't going to get excited about that. You're going to say, It ain't going to mean a thing to you. But if you get what I've got on the inside of me, expectation. expectation. You know how you get expectation? By doing it and by having the doctrine of do and doing it. How do you know you're going to like something until you do it? Well, I don't want to pack them potatoes. I'm above that. Well, just start packing them. Well, ain't bad. How do you know until you try it? How do you know that you aren't going to enjoy witnessing until you do it? You got to have the doctrine to do. How many are hearing this word here? Oh, God. Oh, God, help us. Help us to stop counseling one another's flesh. Inner healing. Sister, brother, do you... I'll just use you, Randy. You look like you need an inner healing. No, it looks like you need to do something, Randy, and you'll feel good on the inside, and then your inside will get healed because you feel good about yourself. And of course, he does. He's the doer. That's why I'm pointing on him here. He does. He loves to do things. But if you don't love to do things, and you don't like to get involved, you're never going to be healed on the inside. Did you know that? Work is a therapy. Sitting home on your frumpy backsides and being spiritual. Listen, radio, tape ministry, listen. Sitting in there, or laying, sluggards, you're laying in bed right now listening to this radio broadcast. It's almost 2 o'clock. Get up out of that bed. Roll over, get up. Okay, going on here. And if you think that is being spiritual and walking around with a smile. Oh, you know, people got so many excuses. Now, why aren't you working today? It's a nice day. It's too nice to work. Last winter, and they say, okay, everybody put on a smile. It's a nice day. And let's just walk around and check to see if there's any robins. It's too nice to work. Last winter, it was too cold to work. Now, this summer, it'll be too hot to work. That right? Or too rainy to work. How many are hearing this? And the people that feel that way, do you know something? They don't get an inner healing, never will get an inner healing because they're not doing something outwardly. Your little brother. Oh, glory. Come up. You led this little friend to the Lord. What's his name you led to the Lord last week? Honey. What's his name? Tariff? Terrell, she led this little guy to the Lord, and her brother come up and says, he come to the Lord, he's got a little question here. What does it mean when people say, bless you? Well, it means they want to bless you. And when they want you to be happy, blessed is a man. They want you to be happy. They want you to be blessed. Oh, he said, oh. Oh. And then your little brother, he got all smiley. Because he did something. You ain't got no smiles. You ain't doing nothing. Because the most unhappy people in the world are non-doers. Right? And it irritates them when you're a doer and you're doing things. Okay, I get that. Oh, great. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, 10,000 of this and 10,000. Great. And it irritates them. And they get mad. Oh, they make me sick. You'll never get to heaven by works. Huh? They use that one. Huh? Oh, fun getting there. Yours look like you're having a miserable time, huh? I didn't say that. I'm too spiritual for that. But I mean, the thought comes out, right? How many heard this message tonight? God, let's get it on. Now, is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody you just don't know? Well, I was confirmed, and I'm not talking about confirmation. I'm not talking about being a devout. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being sprinkled. I'm talking about accepting Jesus as the Savior of your life. And then go out and do something with him. You ever do something with Jesus? If I go on vacation, I go with Jesus. Otherwise, it's boring. If Jan just went on vacation with Paul, she'd be bored. And if I just went on vacation with Jan, I would be bored. I mean, how many times can you say, aren't we having fun? There is no fun outside of Jesus. How many hearing that? No fun! And so, before we leave, we're going to pray that Jesus comes with us. And that it doesn't get irritated while we're out there in that stormy boat and just goes to sleep. Doesn't pay no attention to us until we yell until we're hoarse. Oh, no, we're going to keep him in contact all the time. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus? Are you two girls? I don't know you. Are you both born again? Thank you for coming tonight. So if you're